Now, moving on to day three. So we kicked off day three with a secret set by Wolf Alice. It got announced in the morning. We all went there at 12, the whole lot of us from the SRA group and Amazing Radio, and we just jammed out to Wolf Alice, and it was a brilliant set. Really, really good. Played Mona Lisa Smile, they played Giant Peach. We got fully involved, the whole team, in a mosh pit. I've never been in a mosh pit before, and it was ace. Then after that, we just moved over one tent to the left and went and saw a band Jack had kept talking about, some guys that he'd interviewed earlier that year called Get Inuit, an up and coming band, but definitely guys that are gonna do very well for themselves. Very personable, funny on stage, great music, really good energy. They're definitely someone that I would keep an eye out for. And then walking back to the guest area to go do some more interviews, because yet again, day three was a busy interview day. Got to catch a bit of Moose Blood, who are personally one of probably my favorite bands, definitely one of my favorite like alternative bands. So I was really happy to catch them. I only caught about 20 minutes, but still amazing. At this point, I went and did all my interviews. The interviews that day I had, but I think it's kicked off with Sundara Karma, which was a really good interview, really nice guys. It's always a really interesting when interviewing like four people from a band. You never really know who to direct the recorder at, because they're all like wondering who's going to talk. But yep, that was an ace interview. They were really, really nice guys. Then after that, after Sundara Karma, it was straight on to interviewing Pale Waves, who are two of the most lovely girls who I've ever met. They were so down to earth, from Manchester, that's where I live in the moment, so they were like really conversational. They had lots to say. They were just one of those, they were some, you just meet people in life and they are really super interesting. And I would say these girls will go on to do big things. And they spoke about how they had got the 1975 to help produce their album. It was all really, really interesting. And here's some of the stuff that they said. I'm here with Pale Waves. How are you guys today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Like I said a minute ago, hanging a little bit, but I'll survive. So I'm really happy talking to you, because you are Manchester through and through. I'm from Manchester.
Oh, nice.
Went to university there, student radio station, everything like that.
Oh, that's great.
And so, starting in Manchester, did you ever imagine that you would get to this point? Was it the dream? When did you guys start? Just give me kind of a bit of backlog, if that's cool.
Well, like, we both always knew from a young age that this is what we're going to do. Like, there's nothing else that I would ever do. So, like, when I met Kira, it was so refreshing, because so many people are like, yeah, I might do it. Like, it's hard. So, like, but when I met Kira, she was like, no, this is what I'm going to do, so.
Yeah, like, when we met each other, it kind of made sense. Like, we always knew we were going to... That's when we knew
everything
we
started here. Like just working.
So just one of those things that kind of it clicked almost.
Yeah.
You meet those people in life and you're kind of like, oh wow.
You are my sort of person.
Yeah, exactly. So you really started building a name for yourself in Manchester. Like you went, you've been there, and then you kind of went to the rest of the country. And have you got any plans to kind of go international soon, or are you touring abroad, or have you? What's that been like?
Yeah, well, we're planning on going to America
and Europe.
And Europe, like, this year. We're announcing tour dates, like, pretty soon, so that'll be a lot of fun. Like, we love kind of just travelling around and seeing, like, different places. Like, not like I would hate to be, like, just stay in one place, you know? Like, some people kind of just grow up and then just, like, stay there, which is fine for them, but like, that would just drive me insane.
So where have you been so far that's really impressed you, or, like, an amazing place to play?
Paris. Paris was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That
Paris
must be gorgeous.
Yeah, New York, that was...
LA is cool. I like LA.
We went to Hollywood, like 12
Heather's
o'clock
like,
at night.
I'm not impressed by LA at all.
No. Really, what's wrong about LA?
No, we went to Hollywood at, like, midnight after the show.
Hollywood Boulevard.
And that like, just scared me a bit, because, like... It wasn't as pretty as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, really.
It was quite like, you know, everyone who seemed to have lost their minds were kind of just on that strip.
Ooh, sounds a bit creepy.
But there's like a collection of photos I realised of you that you're like, well, you look really sad, but we're in LA. That's what she's like.
Well, I'm not actually that sad.
No, but you...
Well, so that day, my head was gone a bit.
Oh, we all have days like that. I mean, you've got to allow for them, haven't you? I mean, it's just not every day that I could say that. Oh, I'm just feeling a little bit down, but I'm Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
true.
That's awesome. I was looking at Spotify, and I was really gutted to see that you only have, like, two songs up there, so...
Yeah, we don't have a lot.
At least it's two doing that one, exactly. Like it has been for the past few months.
So when are you going to be releasing an EP or an album, or what's the plan?
Well, we don't have a set date for anything yet, but we're going to record some more tracks, aren't we? Mm-hmm. In a few days. So hopefully really soon, because I want more music out there.
I mean, it's like, I love the songs that they went straight into my August playlist.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, absolutely adore it. And also back at my student radio station, you're in our A-list at the moment.
Oh, that's amazing.
I wanted to ask you, who are your influences? I know this is a bit of a generic question. You speak to bands quite a bit and they sound kind of samey. And you guys just sound really individual. Was that something that you went out your way to become, or was it something that happened naturally?
I think it's because we're quite observant. For me, my ears are always open, even if I don't like that sort of music. I feel like you can take anything away from something. Or you can like be on the tube and you can hear like someone say something, and that could be
And
they would pick that up as a lyric. Like, it's just, you've got to have your ears open at all.
We don't just kind of
experiencing life a little bit.
Exactly. We don't just kind of sit down, listen to some tracks, and then go and write. Like, we're always kind of listening, and like just even like watching a film. That can just like just spark something.
Looking for those kind of deeper meanings.
Like, even if it's a song you don't like, the way it's structured can be really like influential.
Again, it's like when I listen to your music, it just seems, I don't want to sound like I'm slating anyone, but like, your music has deeper meaning. Like, lyrics mean something, it makes you think stuff, or like tell
stories.
That's
really good. That's why we're here. Because we're not just trying to be like a seed.
We're not afraid.
Yeah.
Like, do you mean I will pour my heart out in a song?
We want substance, and not just like, you want to listen to our songs to take something away from it.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Jack and I'm at Leeds Festival and I'm with Frank Carr. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks very much. Now, I was going to start the interview. I read something online saying that you're a very good festival conversion band. I don't know if you remember the interview at all. I think it was an interview with you. And I want to expand on it. So I saw you at Glastonbury, like the 20,000 others that were majority there for the Killers. And I'm not going to lie, I was as well. I mean, I wanted to see you, but I was there as well. And I've never seen anyone win over a crowd like that. Honestly, I was blown away. Is this something like you notice? So if you play before someone who's huge, do you notice the conversion of the crowd?
I only ever want to play before people that are huge. That's kind of what I want to do. Yeah. My band is called Rattlesnakes. Our whole deal is to, like, you know, wait around the pit of eggs and then steal them. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what we do. Like, our job is to go in and be the best band you've never heard of, you know? Yeah. Also, I want to give all those big bands a run for their money. Like, a lot of them get a bit casual, you know? It's easy to get, like, to rest on your laurels a bit, and I just want to make sure that they know that that's not acceptable behaviour.
I think you definitely managed that. Like, at Glastonbury, it was the whole crowd was just going for it, and it was great. I've also, the whole bit you did about the women's safety in the gig, I thought was brilliant. Like, and my mate, she's a 24-year-old, sort of 5-foot little girl, and she went for it. Straight away during that, she was up and she was gone. She never normally would, and I thought it was brilliant. Apart from the obvious reasons, what's the main reason you've started doing this in your sets?
We started doing it about a year and a half ago because there were some girls at a gig and they were like singing every single word, and I could see that they wanted to stage dive, but they didn't the whole gig. And before I left the stage, I just went straight up to them and I was like, listen, what happened? You were... I could tell you wanted to just dive, like, this is your place. And she just said, like, I don't feel safe. And it broke my heart. Really broke my heart. And then, like, more and more I started noticing that at our gigs, like, girls down the front row, incredibly passionate, know all the words, like, love our band, but don't feel safe enough, or don't feel like they're going to be treated with respect. So they just can't seem to, like, really let loose. They can't enjoy themselves in the way that the male members can.
Yeah.
And it's because of the male members in our audience. And it's not, you know, it's the threat. We've got really accepting, I think we've got really accepting, really fair fans that respect everybody. But there's the threat of that always for women, because they may have had a bad experience at a previous gig. So what we do is we don't wait until something's happened. We just go out and we say, this is your song. Everyone here is going to treat you with the respect you deserve. and you're going to have a great gig. And if you've ever wanted to crowd surf, now's your chance. And hopefully that gives them the confidence. But more importantly, we speak to our peers. You know, I'm speaking to every male member of that audience to say, if you've seen this behaviour or you've done this behaviour, it's not acceptable. You need to speak up for it as well, and you need to support these women and make sure that everybody has a good time, because ultimately that's what music's about. It's about freedom, it's about celebration of life, and it's about enjoyment. And there's nothing sadder to me than, you know, seeing people at a gig not having the fullest extent of their good vibes, you know?
Yeah, definitely, completely agree. I think also when you do that kind of thing, it does make the male audience members really think about it. Now I'm so aware of it after you talking about it. I'm so aware of seeing it at gigs now, and I'm assuming everyone else is like that in the audience. I think it's a brilliant thing to do.
I hope so, and I hope that, like, you know, when people like you, if you see that behaviour, you step in, because ultimately, like, it's important that we all come together to make a safe environment for everyone at gigs, because this is what gigs are all about. Like, that's what it was for me when I was younger. Like, there was none of that when I went to gigs when I was younger. I went to punk rock gigs, and they were all about family. Didn't matter who you were or what you were doing, you were there for a good time, and everyone looked out for each other. I want to bring that to the mainstream, and I just want to reject this misogynistic, like you know, anonymous in the crowd mentality that you can do whatever you want. Like, it boils down to sexual assault.
Yeah, 100% agree.
It's just not acceptable, and you wouldn't accept that in any other, like, walk of life. Like, you wouldn't do that at the gym, you wouldn't do that in the swimming pool, you wouldn't do it at cinema. Why the fuck can you do that at a gig? You can't. So cut it out. Let's all act like normal, respectful human beings.
It's great to see something like you're so passionate about it. It's brilliant, and it. Yeah.
She's 2.5, and like I feel incredible guilt, because if I had started doing this 10 years ago in my first band, probably the landscape now would be quite different at gigs, you know. So I feel that I did not use my platform in a responsible way for 10 years. So now I'm doing everything in my power to make up for that, because I want her, when she's 14, going to gigs for the first time, for it not to be an issue. I want her to just walk in and crowd surf or stage dive and have the best time and know that everybody there is going to treat her with respect. So, because otherwise I'm going to have to kill someone. Do you know what I mean?
100%, yeah.
And I don't want to go to jail.
So we've talked about the album a little bit. What are sort of your biggest influences behind that album?
My daughter and my wife and my dog.
Daughter, wife and dog.
The album is all about my family. It's all about, like, human relationships. It's you know, the first song is about my dog and how scared I am that she's going to die one day. The last song is all about my daughter and how scared I am of the world that she's going to inherit. And the rest of the album is basically about love and about war and about being a feeling sometimes like a spectator in both.
After Pale Waves, went and spoke to an old friend of mine. I guess I could say old friend. I'm not really sure how long you have to be friends with someone to class them as an old friend, but someone that I've interviewed before, Sigrid, Norwegian pop star, doing so well for herself, being Apple's next big thing. Lovely, down-to-earth girl, and it was really nice to catch up with her, even though it had to be a pacey interview because she was setting off within minutes of arriving in the press tent. I think she had 25 minutes to do about 5 interviews. So it was a bit snappy, but it was really nice to catch up with her and chat. And yeah. So here's that interview. So I'm Tom Hinckley from the SRA. I'm here with Sigrid. How was your performance today, and how are you?
It was very fun, and I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm knackered. Admittedly, it's the Sunday.
Knackered? So, what, like, does that mean?
That means really, really tired.
Oh, last night you're hungover.
No. I'm definitely not, a little bit. But then everyone is. How was that?
No,
did you get to see any performances in Reading?
No, we were driving straight to the airport, and I went to bed at 10 p.m. That was my night, my Saturday night.
Proper grandma.
Yeah, I'm a proper grandma, don't worry.
But how was the performance in Reading? Was
no,
it good?
That was great. That was the party, to go up on stage there and just be with all the people dancing and singing. It was great. Really fun.
When I've been to two of your performances now, and you really get the crowd going and dancing, it's good vibes, and it's just really nice. So I can only imagine it was like that. Because I saw you lead, so then I had to run here to come to an interview, and I was like, oh, I wanted to see the rest of it. But so how was the crowd compared to Reading? Which one was better?
Oh god, don't ask me that.
Is it hard to choose?
Yeah. They were so nice in both ways. I can't decide. Like, it was great. The crowd in
incomparable.
Yeah. It was great. They brought Norwegian flags today. That was cool.
Did they?
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. So, you You recently got named Apple Music's Rising Star.
Yeah.
Zane Lowe, the whole big deal. I saw like on Twitter this massive billboard of you up in New York.
Oh,
and I was
God,
like,
really?
Oh, we were hanging out in Afflecks in Manchester about 3 months ago, and there you are on a billboard in New York. Huge.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
That was insane. And it was, I can tell it. I met Mac DeMarco at the Oya Festival in Norway. And it was really funny because I was fangirling on him 3 years ago when I was at Oya Festival and saw him play. And I asked for a photo to be like, oh my God, can I have a photo with you? And now I met him this year, just a couple of weeks ago. And he was like, no, you're the girl from that billboard. So he and his band had rented this Airbnb apartment in New York,
yeah,
and the view from the window was me on that billboard,
really?
The Apple billboard, and they were like looking at me, and they were like, oh my God, who is this? And then they showed up, the Oya Festival, and then we met, and it was really, really fun.
God, that's amazing. Imagine like, oh, that's insane. Literally no words to say to that.
No, I was immediately starstruck when I met him this time. I was like, oh my God.
How did you react to that, him telling you that? Were you just kind of like,
Yeah, that was my reaction, exactly. Like, okay, that's cool.
Right, so you seem like, well, whenever I've met you before, you're always shooting off somewhere after this, like you said, when you played running yesterday, literally 2 hours into her over here. Where are you shooting off after this?
Norway. Yes, I'm going home. So we're leaving in just half an hour or something after this interview, and then we're going to the airport, Manchester actually, we're going to the Manchester airport, and then back home to Norway, and I'll have a day off, and then it's pre-production with the band for new shows.
Yeah, and how's Martin and the band and everyone like that?
Oh, they're good. Yeah. I wanted to say hi back to you. They wanted to say hi.
Yeah, I missed them. Like, it's so nice seeing you the last time.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thank you so much for talking. We'll leave it there. I hope you have a safe journey home.
Thanks.
Yeah, again, like I said, interview after interview after interview, they were constant on the Saturday and Sunday. So finished up the interview with Sigrid, and that was me done for about an hour. So I had an hour to go catch some more acts. So in that time, I got to go see Paris. I went and caught up with one of my friends, Lauren, and we just went and jammed out to Paris. It was brilliant, great performance. Then got to see Lin Gunn in the press area later, taking some really cool pictures, got to say hi. I got a sticker as well, which I have lost, but we won't talk about that. I have no idea where I left it. It was probably in a back pocket. So after a bit of Paris, I was anticipating Migos. I had half an hour before my interview. Migos were late. They were about 40 minutes late due to traffic. And so I thought I wasn't going to actually get to catch them. At 4, I had my interview with Everything. So I'd headed over there. Migos were supposed to go on about 3:30. And like I said, they were 40 minutes late. So I went and did my interview with Everything. Two lovely dudes talking about their new album, talking about their tour coming up, talking about what they think of Reading and Leeds and how it's changed and how they started on the BBC introducing stage. Just a really classic kind of feel to the way they have become who they are. And they're really lovely guys to talk to.
I'm currently sat with Everything. How are you guys today?
Good, thank you.
Good, warm.
Yeah, it's really warm. It's really humid in here as well this time.
Yeah.
Vicky press tent.
It's roasting. So, Reading yesterday,
Yeah.
How was it?
Great. Probably our best Reading show we've ever done. I think we played it 5 times and that was my favourite. And I expect today to be much the same. I think it's going to be great.
Hope so. Northern equivalent.
Yep.
The crowds over the last 2 days have been immense as well, especially for the slot that you guys are in.
And we always like the kind of the Leeds counterpart to Reading, because Reading is such a kind of, you know, we love it, but it is a kind of industry hugger mugger as well. In the guest area, it's just like the British music industry, everyone you know is there. And this one is a little bit more just the fans and the music, which is really nice as well.
Yeah, people having a good time. Yeah. So you released your latest album, If You Have a Dream, a week and a bit ago. So it's exciting times. You're looking forward to playing those songs out on stage?
Yeah, very much so.
I mean, more than half the set is new stuff, actually.
We're asking quite a lot of people, really, but it seems to be going down well, and we're lucky that we can take those kind of liberties for the time being, at least.
Yeah, it's really fun for us to play new stuff, and it's been a great week for us because it's quite old school. You release the album, and then you see how it's selling, and we're going around the country in our car, you know, playing these in-store shows to people, and we're trying to, like, you know, get as high as we can in the charts, and it feels like the 60s or something in a nice way.
Yeah, grassroots campaigning and driving ourselves to the gigs again and stuff like that. We haven't done that for years, so it was nice to reconnect with that at the same time of the week as we go into number, then into the top 5 and all that.
And then this festival was like perfect timing.
Yeah.
all the stars are
lining all off. Yeah.
It's a real kind of like classic vibes, though, isn't it? Mm. Off the new album, what songs do you think is going to really get the crowd going? Can't Do, maybe?
Yeah. I'd hope so. Yeah, because that will be the one they know best, I suppose, of the new songs. But then we also have like very frenetic moments, like a song called Ivory Tower, which we love to play.
Yeah.
And I think that has a kind of impact, even if you haven't heard it before. So we're keeping those kind of things in the set as well.
So let's talk. After this, where are you off to? You were talking about driving yourselves in places.
We won't be doing that anymore. Time.
Nah.
Enough of that. Yeah, we're back on the bus now. We made a huge mess of it last night.
Sign of a good night, though.
Yeah.
Jeremy had a good night.
I had a very good night. I made a horrible mess. Yeah, we are touring. We're finishing up the UK festivals. We've got we're headlining By the Sea in Margate, which we're looking forward to. We've got some European stuff. We've got Electric Picnic in Ireland next weekend. We've got America in October, Australia at the end of the year, and then we hit the UK in March. So we're back in Leeds at the Academy in early March at some point. I should have the dates to be more professional. But you can Google it.
Right.
I was going to say, there's the internet for that type of thing. You've been performing here for like a couple of years now. Has the festival changed like dramatically in that time, or is it still love for you guys?
Not like tangibly, I wouldn't say, but our perception of it has definitely changed because it was so overwhelmingly large when we first came to play it. And we thought that the BBC introducing stage where we started in 2009, it was like really, really big gig, and it was a big gig for us at that point. It was an important gig. I remember playing the Reading leg and St. Lo was there, and that was kind of one of our sort of turning points in our career was that gig. But now we walked past it earlier, didn't we, and it was like a lunchbox. Just take it all a little bit more on our stride these days.
The times have changed, haven't they?
Yeah,
I mean, it's great. It just comes with playing loads of shows, and then we sort of go and look at the tent, and it's a big tent, but we've done those tents a lot and we feel comfortable in that space now, whereas at first you're a bit overwhelmed. So that's just a nice confidence that we've had to, it just takes a bit of time to get, you know.
8 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a very successful 8 years since now you are performing on like the biggest stage.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot.
I'll talk to you and see you guys later.
Cheers, brother.
Thanks, guys.
So I'm here at Leeds Festival and I am with Marmzets, who have just come off stage about an hour ago. How are you doing, guys?
Really well. Good, thank you.
Really
thanks
well.
Thanks for having
us. No worries, thanks for doing the interview.
Sorry, I just kicked you.
So you obviously just come off stage.
Sorry.
It's all right, it's fine. How did you find your set?
Really enjoyed it a lot.
It was thoroughly enjoyable, actually.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
Blessing to be back in Leeds and to have that crowd. Our first time playing Leeds back in since 2015.
Yeah.
So it's just it's an achievement and it's beautiful. It's good to be back.
So I was in the crowd. It was a very good crowd for you guys. It was pretty rowdy, pretty going on. You guys all get into it very well. I saw you back in 2015 at Reading, and in just 2 years, I think there's been quite a bit of development in the way your set runs and the way you all are on stage. Would you kind of think that's something you've noticed?
I think with this time round, because obviously there's sort of a gap between, and haven't toured at all really since then until last week, we're all just a bit more sort of ready for it all, I think, now. We're all a bit more relaxed as people generally, and when we played Reading, we'd been touring for 9 months that year, so we were just whoa, you sort of don't know where your head's at times. This time it's we're all just focused and chilled and know what we need to do and where we need to be with it all. So I think we're all sort of enjoying it more.
Yeah,
this time round, in a way. So it's amazing.
That's sweet. So I mean, you've also toured with Muse and these big bands. You've done all the big festivals. So does the experience of, say, touring with Muse, doing all these massive festivals, is that something that influences your set?
I mean, sort of not intentionally, because we always want to do just our own thing. So I guess, in a sense, not really. I mean, it depends on the gig you're doing, I guess, as well as to sometimes what you can play and what you can't as well, with your set list and how you want it to come across or whatever. So I wouldn't say massively influenced by other acts as such. I mean, for one, if we could have all the pyro Muse doing stuff, we would, but it's sort of one of those things.
Yeah, it's one day is the goal. The budget would allow that. So obviously Play's just come out, and it was on Danny Picotta's show, was it last week?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah.
which I'm assuming is coming off a new album.
Yes.
Is there anything you can tell me about that album in terms of sound? Like, because obviously it was quite, like, your first album, I think, jumped around a bit. There was a bit of math, there was a bit of...
Yeah, it was a bit sort of all over the shop.
Still like that, but it's more... I don't like to say structured, but it's like, I think we've opened up our musicality and our musical skills all completely for us to be able to reach out to more people, which is what it's about, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
People almost think that's a weird thing now if you come from an underground band or whatever, do you know what I mean? It's like, no, this is our dream and we want to go with it, so...
Yeah, sweet. So how would you say you come around and you're writing an album or a new song? How does it come together? Like, who is it? Everyone?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
It just depends on the day. Like, we've written all the songs on the album have been written so differently from one another. There's been ones where we've done instrumental demos and we've put Becca in a booth and gone, right, sing some stuff, do some things, see what you come up with on the spot and record it and then develop that. There's been songs where Becca's come up with like a full melody and idea and everything, we sort of write around that. There's ones where we're just jamming in a room. It really just depends on how we're feeling that day.
He's got a beat on the laptop that he's recorded. It's like,
it can be any little thing. Can, like, say with Play, that was like, that just came from the loop effectively, that their little sister, like, Sam basically said, oh, say 1, 2, 3 go, or 1, 2, 3, 4, but she said 1, 2, 3 play. And then Sam loops the play, and we're like, there's something about that. So we got Becca to do it. And then we just sort of ended up vibing off that. So it can be anything that can stem a song, which is nice about us. There's no real method behind it.
Yeah, that's a really good... That's quite a good little inference there, that 1, 2, 3 play. That's...
Yeah, it's like, we're coming back, you know, after 2 years, it's like, I can't think of anything more perfect, you know what I mean? It's like, 1, 2, 3 play.
Yeah.
I want to see you play, do you know what I mean? It's almost like... I wrote the song for the fans to sing about us, do you know what I mean? It's like they've been waiting ages, do you know what I mean? It's like our first song, it's like we're giving it to you, like we're giving you everything.
I think it's a really good sort of comeback single as well. It kind of
it gives you a flavour of the album. The stuff that's more extreme, the stuff that's way less extreme.
Mushroom and chicken pot noodle, do you know what I mean?
It's a good Yeah, because I saw it as, well, I say I saw it like I don't know what the album sounds like, but as something that sums up quite a lot of your sound in one song.
Yeah, and it's sort of naturally been bigger sounding through, I think, working with Gil, because obviously he's recorded with Foo Fighters, that are just like the biggest sounding band in the world, like literally.
Pixies,
which are like my favourite band ever.
We got to see them when we were recording in Wales, because they were playing in Wales while we were recording with Gil.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing, and we got to meet them and everything.
Oh, is that like a proper fanboy moment for all of you?
We met them all after, and it was just like,
I just
like,
kind of stayed back,
surreal.
That was probably like...
Just didn't say anything.
Like, I sort of wanted to be like, I've been listening to music since I was 9 years old. I was like, hi man, how's it going?
Stay professional.
Yeah. Inside, I was like, my heart was like, doo, 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 doo.
Oh, it's like love at first sight.
Brilliant. So, what do you reckon has been your favourite moment as a band so far?
Oh, God, great question. I mean, there's been so many that... I don't know, it's hard to pick one, I think. Because obviously there's stuff where you sign to a record label and everything, that's obviously a dream come true. There's playing main stage at Leeds and Reading, which is another big
that was
one.
Insane.
I think that might be
probably
the peak, I think.
Yeah.
Or getting to go into Japan.
Japan's
just like the best place on earth.
Is that you're touring? You were touring out there?
We did some Sonic Festival out there.
Oh, okay.
We did a little tour in Australia and some festivals, didn't we?
So it's just getting to tour the world is the good bit.
You find yourself getting like your favourite moments updating sort of on a half a yearly basis.
Yeah, literally. I mean, when we were touring so heavily a couple of years ago, it was like, I think we were on the road for like about 9 months, pretty much, off and on. So a lot of time away, and sort of every other gig or every gig, you'd be like, that was just an absolute peak moment, or, you know, and it just keeps getting better and better and better.
It does.
Yeah.
It all happens so fast, just like anything, do you know what I mean? It's like, I was like, yeah, it's summer holidays, and you're like, oh, it's winter.
Exactly how it goes, yeah. Well, I mean, you got that, I say, all coming up again soon with the new album coming out. And is there any rough time scale for that yet, for the album?
we've got a rough idea, but we're not allowed to say any. But we've got more material coming out this year, so I can promise you that.
Excellent. Okay, that's fine.
We've got singles coming out and
brilliant.
We'll be throwing.
But is the album done though?
Yeah.
It's done. It's just sorting out.
It's done.
Okay. Okay.
It's our baby. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We've got to do it right for us.
Get the right moment.
Do you know what I mean?
It would make more sense
for everyone else as well. It's like we're not just thinking about us. Trust me, we're not.
So finish the interview with everything, and I was buzzing because it was a really nice interview. Lovely chatting to those guys, and then I was like. I was just wandering around the guest area, speaking to Scott and Steph, and we were like a bit disappointed that Migos had cancelled because we're all big fans. You know, they're super hype, really fun. You thought it'd be a good performance, and there was going to be a big crowd. There was lots of people sat there, and I think everyone was kind of the opinion that they weren't going to turn up. It was just unlucky or something like that. But all of a sudden, hear this like super loud noise. These cannons go off, and then the words. Insert like clip of the Migos thingy. You know which one I'm talking about. So we stand up, leg it into the main arena, straight onto the main stage. Migos were fantastic. They only got to do a 20-minute set, but I would say out of all the kind of short sets that I saw over the weekend, Migos definitely nailed it. They were fantastic live. I'm really gutted they didn't turn up on time, as it would have been probably one of my top three performances of the weekend. It was just one of those ones that it was really enjoyable to go see them. It was fun, you know, the songs, and everyone's just down for a good time. They're definitely someone, if you get the opportunity to go see, even if you don't like the type of music, the show is worth it. So after Migos, that was it for the day with interviews. So I went and mingled back in the guest area, talked with some people, kind of did a bit of recoup, got some food. And then it was straight to taking our final picture of the day, which is you'll probably see it at the top of the podcast or something like that, or at least on the page where this podcast will get posted. It's me, Jack, and Steph in front of the lead sign. That was the last thing that we all had to do together. That was the final thing. We were all waiting for each other. It's kind of like a happy, sad moment of we've actually achieved this, the three of us, all these interviews and really experiencing the festival and making this podcast. And it was a nice moment. It was a really nice moment, but that was it. That was our Leeds Festival, being professional press people. That was it over. And in that time, I went to go see, well, after that, or during the taking the picture, because they were on while we were taking the picture at the time. They were actually on while we were taking the picture at the time, was Korn. Not necessarily a band that I was intending to see, but stuck around, had a little bit of a watch. Not necessarily my type of music, but yet again, like I said about Migos, they have such a unique stage persona. They are worth going to see. Then after that, I went to go see Sundara Karma. Obviously interviewed them earlier, got to go see Lulu up on stage performing and the whole band, and that was a brilliant performance.
I'm Tom Hinckley from the SRA, and I'm here with Sundara Karma. How are you guys today?
Hi, very good.
Very well, thank you.
Let's start off with talking about the fact that you released your album this year. Youth is Only Ever Fun in Retrospect. So that happened in July. How was the build-up to that? Was it intense? Was it a long process? Give me the down low.
It was very relaxed and really not thought about at all. I think we underestimated the whole process. Played a lot of ping pong. We did a part of it in this like country house, and there was like a studio dog there and a studio cat.
It's a
pretty luxurious process. I think we spent all our the majority of our budget on accommodation.
I mean, if there's a dog there and there's a ping pong table, so that's the things that get you going. Dogs and ping pong tables. You're a Reading based band, so does that mean there's a little bit of bias towards playing Reading, or do you like Leeds just as much? Is there a difference in the crowd?
We're from Reading, and we've only been to Leeds when we played Leeds. So it's twice?
Three times on a
I can't even remember like the Festival Republic gigs.
Because we're all hungover.
Yeah.
I think we did the Leeds first that year when we did Festival Republic.
We've never done Leeds first.
No, we have.
I think that's the one.
Yeah. I remember it now. I was wearing a blue shirt.
Yeah, I was wearing a blue Sergio Taccini tracksuit.
You were in a sleeping bag before the show, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, hey there. I'm not getting that.
So how does performing here compare to performing at other festivals and other gigs and things like that? Is it a special thing?
Yeah, I think Reading and Leeds is always like, you know, it's one of the big ones of the festival season, isn't it? So
it's kind of the big finisher for the festival season.
Yeah, a lot of bands like last festival of the summer, isn't it? I mean, we've got a few more, but it's like, it's the big one, isn't it? So like, yeah, it's always pretty great. It always goes off, doesn't it?
I was reading up on you guys, and then I saw that you are like heavily influenced by Hindu and Buddhist type themes. Like, was this a mutual decision, or was it something that just kind of came about?
I don't think it's the overarching theme. I think it's like a subtle something in the background that all of us kind of agree with, like a mindset.
Yeah.
Or an approach kind of thing.
An attitude towards.
I'd say loneliness is probably the biggest theme on the record than any other new age thing.
Are you planning to see any acts after this, or have you got to get straight away?
Well, we've got a 4-hour drive back tonight. We saw a couple acts last night in Reading, but unfortunately don't think we'll hang around too long tonight.
Who did you get to see at Reading?
Everything. We saw Lloyd Carter.
Lloyd
Carter as well. I'm a little bit hungover.
It's like the Sunday, isn't it? Everyone's just knackered and kind of like, last day, relaxed.
Nobody looks happy at the festival side.
Then I went and ran over to Black Honey, who are personally one of my favourite indie bands. Great live. Just really fun atmosphere in the tent. And then obviously, about hour and a half break, and then it was probably the final act of the weekend. I caught up with some friends before we went there, and it's fair enough to say that he totally shut down Leeds. Of course, the guy I'm talking about, headline act Eminem, was the last act that I saw at the weekend, and it's the only one that I say challenges Muse. He just had the biggest crowd, and I had so much fun in that crowd, and it genuinely was one of those really unique experiences, and seeing Eminem live is not something that I thought I would get to do, and it was just the perfect way to end the weekend, I think. So I am here with
Lara
and Tyler.
Right, so who you guys seen this weekend then?
We've seen Liam Gallagher, and we've seen Kasabian, and we've just watched Migos.
Migos were really good. I was absolutely gutted their set got cut.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Due to traffic, wasn't it? Who else have we seen? We've seen Lethal Bizzle, Jay Huss,
Dave.
So seeing kind of the grime stuff.
Yeah,
is that
like grime
like
stuff as well.
Is this your first festival, or you've been coming for a couple of years now?
No, we've been coming for 10 years. This is the 10th year.
Yeah. When was your first ever festival? Like, what age?
Yeah, five. Or six.
God. Five.
Like, do you want to know, like, this is my first festival and I'm 20. Exactly. Like, you must be laughing at me. But, like, out of everyone, if you had to pick someone that is your favourite overall from the weekend, who would you say is the standout act?
For me, Liam Gallagher.
Yeah,
I love Liam Gallagher.
He was special.
Yeah.
And what about you, Tyler?
Probably Sam.
Liam Gallagher. Yeah.
Liam Gallagher.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's
thank
been nice
you.
Talking to you. So yet again, talking to some more punters. What's your name, mate?
Simon.
So, who have you seen this weekend so far?
Oh, we've seen probably the favourite Muse on Friday. That was a highlight for Friday for us. It was one of the reasons we came for the weekend was to make sure we saw Muse.
Is it the first time you've seen Muse, or like?
No, that's many times. Yeah. But it was it's great to see them here.
Yeah, like it was my first ever time at a festival, and then also seeing Muse, and I would say standout act for the weekend.
Absolutely fantastic. They always
amazing.
Do. They always blow us away every time we see them live. They're awesome.
It's just everything about them, isn't it? It's the visuals.
It's the energy. They're slightly ridiculous when they do their own shows and their own tours with a stage show and everything, but that was fantastic. We were really close as well, so we got a great view. It was awesome.
I mean, like, compared to when they're on the road and everything like that, is that on par, or is it even more immense?
From the performance, absolutely on par.
Really?
I think it's the energy of the music that carries it through, so they could play here in that little room, and the energy of the music would carry it through.
There was just so much variety in the show, like with when he had the glasses on and there was like all the lyrics coming in the glasses, yeah, and then the light show and everything. It was fantastic. But anyone else that stood out as well?
To be honest, I mean, the thing, are you me at six?
Me at six. So a bit of a surprise. You're not fans otherwise?
Yeah, I like them. Not a massive fan to go out and buy the music and listen to them continuously, but they put on a really, really good show. We loved that. That was in the Enemy stage last night. Wasn't it?
No, I heard they were pretty good. Is there anyone that you've quite kind of caught that's maybe a smaller act that you thought, wow, okay, we'll just go see them, see what
it
was like?
The guys then that were on, were like them, was it Amigos?
Amigos, yeah.
Amigos, sorry. Yeah, I've never even heard those before. And again, we were right down the front and everybody knew the words, so.
They are ace. They're just one of those acts that have so much energy. They are immense, really good at putting on the show.
Did they get turned off at the end? Were they ever running?
Apparently they were running late. They were supposed to start at 3:25, but they started later, didn't they? And so they got cut short, which, I wish we could have seen more. I was sat there at the time they were supposed to start and gutted that they weren't there. I thought they weren't going to turn up though, so I'm happy they did.
Right. The other area that we've enjoyed, thoroughly enjoyed, is Relentless.
Relentless, yeah, that stage has been amazing.
Absolutely fantastic. And we've been to Leeds before, and we've normally come for guest camping, but actually never gone there until we went. Well, we went on the first night, and we went last night as well. It was absolutely fantastic. The setting and the lights and the trees and how crowded it is, that just really makes it. I'm a big dance music fan myself anyway, so that sort of.
Are you seeing Flume tonight then?
Yes, we will do, yeah. Yeah.
What stage he's playing?
Is it the Enemy stage or the dance stage?
Well, I would say the Enemy because it's a bit bigger, isn't it? Dance stage is probably a bit too small for Flume. But I mean, that's going to be a mess.
Enemy,
though,
yeah.
Also.
Yeah, so it's a big room.
You're right, that whole area over there is amazing. It's the first time I wandered out there yesterday and it blew me away, like you said. So how many years have you been coming to?
I came the first time.
What is it that keeps bringing you back to Leeds and maybe not other festivals?
I think the lineup this year was absolutely fantastic. And if you compare, we've previously done V, and the lineup V has gone now a little bit too poppy and a little bit too nice for the music perspective. But here it's got a really strong lineup. Yeah. It's a great mixture of dance
and
rock
as well,
and heavy. Yeah. So it captures everything. They don't appear. It's not just a rock festival. You've got your dance acts, and you've got Anne-Marie. Yeah. So Anne-Marie yesterday on the Enemy stage. She was awesome. She's, vocals.
I got told the other day she is a judo champion.
Oh really?
Yeah. So like, if you ever meet her, don't mess with her. She'll have you in the headline. Right. And last question: what did you think of the headline act? So I've heard quite a mixed review of like what people think of them. Did you think it was good this year?
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Kasabian, I've seen Kasabian many times, and we flitted around the headline act last night, so we didn't stop for that whole show. But Eminem again, that was another massive attraction. It's Muse, we worship, Kasabian are fantastic, but Eminem is like proper Eminem will be there to see. That is going to be awesome.
It feels rare, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, very, very special.
Right, I hope you enjoy your evening. Enjoy seeing Eminem. If I see you in the crowd, we'll have like a little dance or something like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
So yeah, that is my overall 3-day review of Leeds Fest 2017. I'm Tom Hinckley. I went there on the behalf of the SRA. I would like to say thank you to the SRA for sending me there on press passes. It was probably one of the best weekends of my life, so thank you very much. If you are thinking about going to Leeds next year, I couldn't express how much I think you should go. It is one of the best things that I have ever done. Like I said earlier, it was my first ever festival, so I'd never done anything before it like this. I had no idea what to expect going in. I just had no expectations. It's totally unique thing. I don't even know how to describe it. It was not what I was expecting. It was just 10 times better than what I was expecting, and I had the absolute time of my life. And I think on that note, I'll leave it there. That is my 3-day review of Leeds Fest 2017.